are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
You are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wally, your host. Ray and Will T are out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition. Yeah, the pregame. Here are our topics. We'll talk about the Skins compensatory picks with former USA Today's senior Redskins reporter and current Sports Journey's Redskins insider, Lake Lewis Jr. Finally, we'll feature our listener segment, That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. But first, right now I have former USA Today's senior Redskins reporter and current Sports Journey's Redskins insider, Lake Lewis Jr. on the line. What's going on, Lake?
I'm good, man. I'm good. About yourself?
Oh, man, I'm blessed, man. You know, it's the off season, it's a dead time. So, I'm, you know, obviously, you know, looking for Skins content is always hard, but it's always good. It's always good to have a guy in the know who knows everything about the Skins, who covers this team in depth. So before we get into the Skins that talk, I'll let our listeners know about, you know, I mean, your personal path and what you do at Sports Journey.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, just, I don't know if we have enough time, my friend.
We want to hear all about you, man.
I mean, just person that's been grinding over the years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my start was in broadcasting, mm-hmm. You know, and then I had a syndicated show on ESPN Radio and, you know, transitioned that into, you know, starting up my own thing. And I did that like 10 years ago. And just over the time, I've covered, you know, the Wizards, the Redskins, New Jersey Nets, Baltimore Ravens, Orlando Magic. So, you know, but over the past, I would say past 4 years, it's strictly been the Redskins for me. And things have really blossomed and taken off for me personally. And the business is doing well. So, you know, we're excited about, you know, hopefully a successful season coming up. I'd like to be able to cover a winner here in D.C. and see what it's like.
We had the Caps, right? So we did have a winner.
Yeah, you know, but as far as the business, you know, I have people to cover the other teams now, but I'm strictly, you know, Redskins. I'm you know, a Redskins person, myself and Diane Cheesebro. And, you know, it's been tough, my friend. I mean, you know, just the daily drama that sometimes goes on, and you just want to see, you know, just football. And I thought this year, the beginning of the year, I mean, even going back to training camp, yeah. You know, as you know, I was tweeting out that they looked like it was business as usual. It was nothing over the top, no storylines, just hard practices and training camp. Mm-hmm. And they started the season that way. They were winning games ugly. It wasn't pretty, but mm-hmm. they were winning. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people devalued what Alex Smith brought to the table. Agreed. You and I used to talk about this all the time on Sundays mm-hmm. at the stadium. Mm-hmm. And the professionalism that he brought to the table, and he was a calming force in that locker room. They had finally found a leader, a true leader of men. And when he got hurt, you saw the whole thing unravel.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's, and, you know, it's interesting, you know, because a lot of fans, everyone gets, and, you know, in today's football, everybody's enamored with, like, the Madden football stats, right? Like the old school Madden, right. Not the new day Madden. New day Madden is too tough. I don't play it anymore. But the old school right. Madden, when you can have, like, souped up numbers or fantasy football or whatnot. But there's something to be said about a guy who wins football games. Doesn't matter how he does it, just wins football games. And people get so fixated what we saw in the past with the other quarterback. I'm not going to mention his name. It's like the X. But people get fixated with stats rather than substance and winning games and making the right play at the right situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people fail to realize that other quarterback that we won't name names didn't win games.
Exactly.
So you could have all the stats you want and all the great numbers, but if you're not winning games, and by the way, that was proven again this year with a much more talented football team. Yeah,
and Lake, remind me too, didn't many folks have that team going to the Super Bowl or getting to the NFC Championship game?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, yeah, man, and we said again, you know, it, unless that team made it one step further, which was to the NFC Championship game, mm-hmm. then their season was a failure. They exactly. didn't even get in the playoffs. So exactly. I mean, come on.
yeah, they were the same boat with the Skins.
Exactly, and what you saw with Alex Smith, you mm-hmm. know, is that when he went down, I really felt like the offense was starting to turn the corner a little bit. I'm not saying they were going to be the Chiefs of
yeah,
this year,
of course.
but they were really starting to get it together. And people have to realize too that, you know, Alex Smith for the most part was learning a new system. It takes time. Just new players in general. Everyone wasn't on the same page. And then on top of that, there was no Jamison Crowder, mm-hmm. you know, with him for a while, no Jordan Reed for a while. Chris Thompson was nicked up for a while. You bring in Adrian Peterson off the street cold, mm-hmm. literally. So it was so much stuff. And then, of course, the offensive line again was makeshift. So it was just never a full complimentary 11 players on the field at the same time. And they still were in first place for count 8 weeks in a row.
Agreed.
That says something about the stability of him at quarterback. And unfortunately, you know, I don't think he's going to play this year.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor or anything, but I do pretty sure that he's not going to play this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so this team is almost back at the drawing board where they're going to have to find a quarterback to, if anything, compete with Colton. And I think maybe they give Josh Johnson a chance. I haven't heard anything about him resigning yet, but I would like to see him resigned. So you could have him, Colt, and I think they're going to have to draft a quarterback. I just feel like if the right guy's sitting there for them at 15, or maybe if they're able to move up, you know, package their 15th and one of those third rounders, they did get a compensatory pick in the third round, so maybe you can move a first and a third to move up and grab a Kyler Murray or you know, Haskins if he's sitting there. I think inside there's a lot of people that like Daniel Jones out of Duke.
Yeah,
me personally, I just think it's Murray or bust.
Gotcha.
If you can get him, you know, to be your quarterback, he's a guy that can come in and start. I mean, he's that electric. But if you can't get him, then I think you may have to just ride it out with Colt McCoy for another year and see what you can do.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have former USA Today's Redskins senior reporter and current Sports Journey's Skins insider Lake Lewis on the line. Okay, you mentioned the draft compensatory picks. They have a third rounder, which is a 96 overall pick in terms of the compensation picks. A fifth mm-hmm. rounder, which is the 173rd pick overall. Sixth mm-hmm. rounder, 206th pick overall. And also seventh mm-hmm. rounder with the 253rd pick overall. What does this mean mm-hmm. for the team in terms of trying to, I guess, build a young core?
Well, I mean, it just gives them one more draft pick than they had last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had eight last
true,
year.
True.
So now you have nine this year. And mm-hmm. And they are going younger. I mean, and I like that direction. I mean, they're building through the draft, and that's what the great teams normally do. So you've seen them hit some home runs over the past several seasons. You know, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne. You can go back to Matt Ioannidis when he was a fifth rounder out of Temple. So, you know, they fit, you know, heavy and hard on that defensive line, and that's one of the better young units in all of football. So. I think they need to get some stuff shored up behind those guys. I think the middle linebacker spot definitely can be upgraded. Reuben Foster's there, so we'll see if he can, you know, if he can be the guy. We know about, you know, the background with him, some of the baggage, but you know, he wasn't convicted of anything,
yeah.
which I always tell people.
I agree.
You can't say he did anything wrong if legally mm-hmm. they say he did. So, you know, give him a chance to be the guy that a lot of people thought was a stud coming out of Alabama, out of college. And he had a decent time 2 years in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He didn't really light it up, but I think, you know, in the right situation with the right guys, and clearly there's a lot of Alabama guys on this team, on this defense, that maybe he'll feel right at home, and you see the star power come back out in him. You know, I think often on the secondary, they're going to have to, you know, figure out what they want to do at safety. Is Clinton, you know, is he the guy that's going to be re-signed? I kind of lean towards they're going to have to bring him back because obviously DJ Swearinger's gone. There's going to be some legal stuff still going on with Monte Nicholson where he could, you know, still face some kind of disciplinary action, be maybe suspended for 4 games. You know, so you're going to need some guys back there. There's a great safety coming out of Alabama this year, ironically.
They stay putting them out there, don't they?
Yeah, man. So you know, you could be adding some more Alabama guys to this unit. And I definitely think at 15, he might be worth it. So, you know, so yeah, they've got some work to do, definitely. But 9 draft picks, to answer your question, that's a lot of picks, man. You could make some moves to, like I said, move up or – heck, you could even trade back and get some more guys. But I definitely think just, you know, a 15, the 46, and the 76 pick, 96 pick, I think they're going to keep probably 3 out of those 4 and maybe maneuver one of those to see if they could move up or something. Yeah.
So seeing this front office over the – I'm going to say over the – the last 3 years, do you trust that they'll draft correctly with all these picks?
I mean, the thing is that everyone talks about how great the last 2 drafts have been with Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, but I almost feel like Stevie Wonder could have made those draft picks because of the fact that, I mean, just call it like it is, those guys were almost forced to be drafted by the Redskins because they clearly were positions of need, and they just fell. They fell right in their lap. I mean, Jonathan Allen should have been 2 years ago. He should have been the first defensive lineman off the board.
Agreed.
People were talking about the shoulder injuries and, you know, could it be long-term ramifications? It was just a typical ploy to devalue a player that maybe another team couldn't get, so they didn't want an interdivision rival to get him. So that's what they do, and unfortunately, some teams fall for it, but in the Redskins' case, they had no choice but to draft those 2 guys, and you saw what they're capable of. I mean, they're Pro Bowl talented players. So, you know, hopefully somebody falls to them this time. Maybe Kyler Murray and his lack of height, you know, tricks people, and he falls to 15, and then the Redskins are going to get a surefire start, because I'm telling you, I've been doing this for a while, man, and I haven't seen too many players that electrifying. I mean, he he's not just a runner. I mean, he threw 4,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Yeah.
You know, I just say, look at what Baker Mayfield did. Well, this guy broke all his records.
I agree with you. You know what? And it's the thing about, like, I like Kyler Murray in terms of a talent. My issue with the Kyler Murray thinking is only, it's not even on the kid. It's on the coach. Because my fear is I'm not sure he's the, like, his skill set is a skill set that the coach is comfortable coaching. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, I think Jay's a pocket passer. We know that he's a pocket passer quarterback. I mean, coach. But Kyler Murray is a pocket quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a pocket quarterback
that can run. Yeah.
And it's a little different from when people say, oh, well, he's like RG3.
No, they're different.
No, not different. Nothing alike.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're both great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert was a guy that just, you know, he was an athlete learning to play quarterback in a pocket situation. I'm not saying he wasn't already adequate at quarterback. He was.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a pocket situation, I think Kyler Murray's tailor-made for the NFL game.
Yeah.
And I actually think he brings something to the table that, you know, maybe the league hasn't seen yet. I liken Kyler Murray to a faster, more elusive Russell Wilson, if you can believe that.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, probably with a little bit more accuracy, too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's saying a lot, because Russell Wilson's a proven Super Bowl champion. He's a winner.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for him, he's been playing with putrid offenses.
I know.
But you know, with Kyler Murray, someone asked me, like, what would be my dream scenario?
Yeah.
And my dream scenario for the Redskins is that they can get Kyler Murray with the 15th pick in the first round, or somehow move up to get him. But if things just fall in your favor, you get him to 15, and then round 2, pick 46. I'm taking Hollywood Brown. And you know, and then I, whatever happens after that, we just see how it goes, because I think that they offensively, they need playmakers. I think Josh Stockton's a decent receiver. I think Paul Richardson's decent receivers, yeah. but they're not guys that are making defensive coordinators not get any sleep. That's just the bottom line.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and there's only one guy truly that pass catcher that can do that for teams, and that's Jordan Reed. Mm. But unfortunately, you just can't get a season out of Jordan. You can't.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, I'm going to run this by you. I've actually thought about this even long and hard about a wide receiver. You know, a lot of people, you know, because everyone plays fantasy football mentally. And Antonio Brown, everyone throws that person out there. He's too expensive. So I want people to kind of get that out of their mind. But a guy who used to be here in DeSean Jackson, I think he'd be fairly cheap. And he would be a guy that, you know, people fear. Because I'm with you. It's all about fear. It's like how a defensive coordinator – sees a guy, and then now the game plan for that guy, that particular guy, right? And that opens up everything for everybody else. So Dotson now can get that in route, you know what I mean? That wide open in route, or Jordan Reed can get that in route, because, you know, everybody's concerned with DeSean going deep, because that one thing everybody talks about DeSean is one thing, but that one thing DeSean does is unstoppable. If you plan him man up, it's unstoppable. It's all up to the quarterback to give him the ball. So, like, I've actually thought about trying to bring him back. What's your thoughts about that?
I DeSean's my guy, and and you know, I vote when he was coming here. I mean, that's my guy.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty good friends with his manager. Very good friends, actually. I've known him for a year and a half now. Mm. You know, he wanted to be here.
Yeah,
he absolutely did.
Yeah.
And he still wants to come back here. You can say that everywhere you want. I said that.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to be back here. However, I just think at this time right now, the Redskins are a fragile football team. And when I say fragile,
so true.
I mean from an ego standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we know DeSean has an ego. And it's not, and I don't mean it in a negative way.
Yeah.
I just mean he's an alpha on the field.
Yeah.
That's why he's been successful.
Mm-hmm.
They need more alphas on the field. But I think in this capacity right now, I think it could work with DeSean, I do, but my biggest issue is you paid Paul Richardson a lot of money.
I know. That's the only. I agree.
Yeah, you paid him. Probably overpaid for Paul.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that Paul's a good dude.
Yeah.
But we telling truth here. The Redskins reached a little bit as far as overpaying for him to be DeSean.
Exactly.
And they found out. There's not too many of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Paul is a fast guy, but he doesn't play fast, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeSean, I think the one thing people totally underestimate in DeSean is his football IQ is off the charts.
I agree.
And he's a guy that's not just fast. He's a football player who happens to be really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I look at some of these other guys who are fast, and they happen to be playing football, but they don't. But I mean, when you look at Paul Richardson, do you immediately, if I ask you, what's the first characteristic you notice with Paul Richardson? To me, I'm going to say he's tough. I mean, he's super tough. I'll give him that.
And he got ups.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's ridiculously tough out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think speed first.
Yeah,
I don't.
I got you.
When you think of DeSean, that's the only thing you think about.
Yeah, it stands out.
So, but see, to me, you know who that guy is to me right now?
Who's that guy?
It's Hollywood Brown.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's DeSean to me. That's Hollywood Brown is DeSean and his cousin, Antonio Brown, all in one.
Ooh. I like hearing stuff like that. I mean, they do need a wide receiver. They need a playmaking wide receiver. You know, I've been big on Dotson, but it is what it is. It's like, I got it.
Yeah.
The buck. It is what it is. If it ain't click now, it ain't going to click anytime soon. And this team with Jay, especially with Jay, we all know this is pretty much Jay's last year to prove anything, right? So, he, you know, wishing on Dotson to be that guy, and he needs Dotson to be that guy, it ain't going to happen like he wants it to happen. So, They need a playmaker.
Yeah, and I think you know, going back to that wishing well, him and Kyler Murray, you know, coming from the same program, same bit, they have a camaraderie already, mm-hmm. you know, rapport on the field. Mm-hmm. It's just stuff like that, little things that could fall into your place. And you have to look at it this way. The Redskins are in a situation where they cannot watch some of the other teams in their division stockpile themselves. Yeah. I mean, the worst scenario for me for the NFC East, period, for every team outside of New York City, is that the Giants get smart at 6 and take Murray. If they do that, which I think they should, mm-hmm. it could get ugly.
Oh yeah, you team that him with Saquon? Oh God, Saquon,
yeah, and
oh,
Odell.
God.
Don't forget a healthy Odell.
Odell, but I'm always Odell's a beast. I know I can't forget about Odell, but something about Saquon. I mean, when I look at Saquon, I look at another. I mean, to me, no one's ever going to be Barry Sanders. You know what I mean? No one's ever going to be as elusive as Barry. But mm-hmm. I see similarities.
I mean, well, you know, I'm a Penn State.
I know you are. So I had. Know, I know.
That's my guy. And you know how I've been harping on him for 3 years.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like, this guy is something that a lot of people just really haven't seen. You know, people would see him a couple major primetime games, but, you know, I used to, like 2 years ago, I was broadcasting up there.
Yeah.
So I was just seeing this, like, my God, and I was doing it with Blair Thomas, good mm-hmm. friend of mine, Nittany Lion legend, yeah. mm-hmm. and, you know, Blair was a running back, and even Blair was just like, there's something about this guy that's just his work ethic, for one. I mean, he works hard. He's a weight room freak. I mean, but he's a great kid. And you just knew that once he got to the pros, where the game opens up even more for your individual skill sets, mm-hmm. you'd see him do things that just were ridiculous. You know, a guy that big, you know, that stocky, to be that fat,
exactly.
legitimate 4-3 guy,
mm-hmm.
that's unheard of. And every time he touches the ball, he's
exciting.
Like you said, and that's very similar to Barry. I look at him as Saquon to me. I definitely see the similarities in Barry from the body structure.
Yeah, body structure.
You know,
that's how I get it.
Mm-hmm. But to me, I think Saquon is a bigger, faster version of Marshall Faulk.
I thought you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I could see that.
Yep.
I knew you were going to say that too. No, because also me growing up, you know, growing up, Barry was like my favorite back overall, like period. But I remember as a kid, like playing basketball, running out when it was a Marshall Faulk game on San Diego State. I used to literally run to our game room to watch Marshall Faulk mm-hmm. while I was playing basketball.
Oh yeah,
like he was that guy. Like he was that guy.
Yeah.
So I definitely similarities.
And that's where, you know, like when people ask me, like, what's the difference between him and like Zeke Elliott? Well, I'm not saying Zeke can't do it. I'm not saying, you know, Zeke's not a great pass catcher out the backfield, but they don't ask him to do that a lot, Dallas.
Yeah.
Well, Saquon is a game changer out the backfield catching the football.
Yeah.
And he extends plays. I mean, it's just that to me. I think Marshall Faulk to me was the best I've ever seen do that at the running back position.
Easily.
I think Saquon's right there with him. I think right now he's mm-hmm. right there with him.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that because when I look at Saquon, because I'm all right. So I mean, I went to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, but I grew up a Michigan fan. Like that's my college football team, mm-hmm. right? So
okay,
obviously,
okay.
I've seen enough of Ezekiel Elliott. I've seen enough of Saquon Barkley, and when I watched Saquon go against like one of the better Michigan defenses, like it was amazing. Like I've never seen anybody
he shredded
the Wolverines. When I watched Ezekiel Elliott, I look at Ezekiel Elliott, I look at almost every good Ohio State running back. I don't see that much. Like for instance, he's with the Dallas Cowboys, and that O line is good. And Zeke is a good back. I'm not taking that away from him, but different from Saquon. If you put Saquon on the Cowboys with that O line. Oh yeah!
That would get ignorant.
That'd be ignorant. You know what I mean?
But in fairness, I will say that Zeke is great, man. I mean,
no,
he's a
good.
Hard runner. But I just think that Saquon is something that we've never seen.
Yeah.
And he's a generational back. Zeke is not too far off. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, but again, the irony of this is they're all in the same division.
I know what the Skins
and that's
know.
Where and the Redskins have guys, and I think that, you know, he's gonna have something to prove, and we'll see if he can come back from that knee injury. And I think, you know, that the grace of that injury, the silver lining in that was it happened first preseason game of last year. So he's had a full year to basically, by the time training camp comes around, it will have been one full calendar year for him to get himself together. And he's a hard worker, so he's already ahead of the curve a little bit. So his own worst enemy is going to be himself come training camp, because I know he's going to want to be out there all the time. And, you know, in the NFL, they will make you come back slowly from those type of injuries, from contact at least. So, you know, you may not see Darius Geis until the third preseason game. And that may be a couple carries here or there, you know. So it's going to be a slow process. But, again, you know, talking about these great backs in the division, hence why I say the Redskins, this is a draft of what you were saying earlier. They cannot drop the ball on this. I mean, because they could fall further behind the eight ball, and you don't want that.
Is there a guard that you have in mind? Because obviously, you know, the Sean Laval situation, I mean, him not being as healthy. I'm not going to talk about his play, but not being as healthy as normal. And also, you know, Brandon Scherff is coming off an injury too. Would you be considering drafting a guard at 15 if that's available? Because the Oklahoma kid's pretty nice too.
Yeah, I mean, there's several guards that are there. I just think in their situation, yes, they have to go with the best player on the board.
Gotcha.
And the best player on their board has to be Murray. It has to be. You know, if it's not, somebody's not evaluating some things properly. So if he's not there, and say your second best grade is a guard, you take him. But I think for a team that's not going to win the Super Bowl this year, and I'm sorry, Redskins fans, when you just automatically come out and say that they're not, but they're not a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if they caught lightning in a bottle and made the playoffs, are they really going to be, you know, like I look at some teams that right now as we speak in the NFC, you know, I'm throwing the Bears and Rams right up there.
Yeah,
I'm throwing the Eagles back up there. I just don't see the Redskins in that group yet, you know. So does that mean they can't make the playoffs? Sure, they can make the playoffs. And if they were to get Murray, in my opinion, again, you see how high I'm on him.
Yeah,
if they
see,
can
I
get
see.
Him, I think they can challenge him for that division. I do. But I don't know if anyone out that division is beating the Rams after – just losing in the Super Bowl the way they did, they're going to be hungry next year. The Bears probably should have been playing the Rams.
No,
in the NFC Championship game. So, you know, those are two teams that you really have to keep your eye on. You know, several other teams that are going to be, you know, should be better. I think the Niners should be better. Minnesota should be better, you know.
Yeah,
so there's several teams, you know. The Packers should be better. And we are already know the Saints are going to be right there in the thick of it. You know, the Cowboys should be better. So there's several teams that are out there. The Panthers, you know, the Falcons. It's going to be a crapshoot for a lot of teams just to even get into the playoffs. And so, in saying that, you have to ask yourself, where do the Redskins stack up against all those teams? You might say, well, they can beat a lot of those teams. Sure, but a lot of those teams aren't Super Bowl caliber teams either. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Very interesting. So, Lake, before I let you go, again, thanks for being on the show. Let our listeners know how to catch your content once again.
Well, you know, as always, you can go to the site, which is sportsjourney.com, or you can follow me on my social media. On Twitter, it's Lake Lewis, and on Instagram, Facebook, it's Lake Lewis Jr., so Lake Lewis Jr.
Hey, Lake, man, you are amazing as always. You know, I love talking Skins to talk with you, man, because we got similar ideas, you know what I mean? Like, very similar ideas. I like talking to like-minded people.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, we have some good conversations.
I know.
But, for your listeners, man, we chop it up quite a bit.
We sure do.
Sometimes things happen in that game where you just look at each other with our heads down.
I know that's right. Ain't that the truth? We roll our eyes. We're like, oh, didn't we just say that?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Lake, man. Thanks again. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, right, take care, my friend. Right, I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Again, that's my man, Lake Lewis, former USA Today's Redskins senior reporter and current Sports Journey's Skins Insider. Make sure you check him out. Lake is amazing. One of the coolest dudes, period. Anyway, it's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. See you after the break. Listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm your host, Wally. Like I mentioned before, Ray Jeezy and Will Tear Out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. Also, do the same for us on Google Play. It's time for That's Real Talk with the Urban Sports Scene. Anytime you feel like ranting about the Skins or you have a question, call us and leave us a message. Here is the number. It's 301-799-5407. You can also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene or hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. We'll play your message on our show. The theme for this particular segment, with all the compensatory picks, do you trust the Skins front office? We didn't get any calls, but we do have tweets and comments on Facebook. On Twitter, at DC Sport Addict tweeted, "How could you put trust and Skins front office in the same sentence?" That's a good one. That really is a good one. During the last, you know, couple of seasons, the Skins have done well in the draft. You have Brandon Sheriff. You also have last year. You got Deron Payne. You know, you got Tim Settles in that draft. So you had good picks, you know, over the last, you know, couple of years. John Deion Hamilton. So to me, when we look at – and Jonathan Allen. I forgot about Jonathan Allen. He was drafted too. So over the last couple of seasons, they've done well in the draft, in my opinion. Even Monte Nicholson. I think Monte Nicholson has an opportunity to be a good safety in this league, even with all the drama in terms of off the field. I think Monte Nicholson has an opportunity to be special in the league if the Skins give another opportunity to play safety for the Skins. So, but I believe that this front office has done well with getting young talent out of the draft. On Facebook, our boy George, what's going on, George, posted, "Doug Williams has run the draft the last 2 years, hasn't he? I think most of the picks have been decent." I agree. I mentioned that before. I think these picks, I mean, and in the picks in the past have been solid. Regardless of how you feel about the front office, the picks in the draft have been solid, and now they're getting more picks. So I expect Doug Williams and Kyle Smith to do a great job when they're, you know, breaking down talent and deciding what guys to bring to the Skins. Nattles posted on Facebook, "They never do, but I still love them." I know. If you're a diehard Skin fan, you have to love the Skins. I mean, it is what it is. They break your hearts, but you still have to love them. Even from the front office to the guys on the field, man, you just got to love them. Other than Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen, I feel like most people just hate those two. Dwayne Wallace posted, "With four picks in the top 100, they shouldn't mess this up. Shoot, I'm an Oakland fan, and we got six picks in the top 106. So we shouldn't mess up either. But who knows these days?" You know what? The Skins and the Raiders are very similar in terms of being in a dysfunctional dysfunctional franchises. But hopefully, both of these teams can get it right in the draft. Now, I think John Gruden is doing a little bit too much. You ask me, you know, letting Amari Cooper go. There's reports that he's going to try to ship off Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr. If the Skins wanted to trade for Derek Carr and bring Derek Carr to D.C., I wouldn't be mad at that. I think Derek Carr has a lot of potential. But we appreciate you all tweeting us and hitting us up on Facebook. Again, we love this segment. This segment gives the listener the opportunity to, you know, to get their point across, and also if they want to call, have their voice be heard. So thank you all for listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. We deeply appreciate, and we love you all. Anyway, you've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.